So again, I want to add my welcome to all the other welcomes you've heard. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Jonna Fonts. I'm one of the pastors here at Salem, and it's just good to be together this morning and worshiping. And thanks to the band. Wow. I got a little bit of a workout there for those first couple songs. I don't know about you, but that was nice. Get the blood going. I'm happy to report that Scott and I have recovered from the fair. What a riot, of smells and tastes and sights and the crowds, holy hosts. It was like packed with people. We had a lot of fun, but I've realized some humility here. I do not have true fair stamina. There are reports among our community of people spending 10 to 12 hours at the fair at a time. Half a day was just about perfect for us, and then we went home and had a bath, a nap, and an evening of eating celery sticks with no dip. Jim Gaffigan is one of my favorite comedians, and he jokes about how we used to go to the fair to see the biggest pig, and now we go to the fair to be the biggest pig, you know? I don't want to be a pig on any day, but I have to say the fair makes that hard. All that food designed to target the pleasure center of the brain. What I really wish this morning is I wish evangelism was as easy as overeating at the fair. Don't you? Like, people were lined up for miles to hear about Jesus and find out what he's done. But alas, they are not. And I think that that's in part due to some evangelists have really spoiled the waters. And due to our culture has really shifted. Anyone who makes truth claims anymore is highly suspect. And I've been tempted to just not do evangelism. In fact, I have heard over and over that living out our faith is the most important form of evangelism, and I've been tempted to just do that. You know that famous quote, you may have heard it, share the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words? That ends up being an excuse for me to not actually do evangelism. I'm just gonna live my life. I'm gonna be faithful to Jesus, and I'm just not going to say anything. Now, I know that was not the intent of the quote. The quote is really calling us and challenging us to live lives that back up our testimony. But I've used it as an excuse to just avoid being brave and saying anything about my faith life in Jesus. No conversation, no questions. But as I shared last week, I'm asking God for a new heart. And I don't want any excuses anymore. I want to both live a life and speak words that testify to Jesus' love and his goodness and his power to transform us. And I think God really wants to give me both of those things. And in fact, Salem, my heart as one of your leaders is that God wants to give that to all of us, that we would both have words and a life that backs up those words to share with our world. We are in the last week of a sermon series called Evangelism, Fact or Fiction. We've been exploring together what evangelism is and what it is not. We started out by learning that evangelism is really about compassion. Evangelism comes out of a heart of love. It comes out of seeing other people rather than just me being comfortable in doing what I want to do. We have also learned that evangelism is really about God's work in other people's lives and in our own lives, and that really, we're not salespeople, we're detectives. We're out there looking, trying to understand what is God doing and how do I join that? And then today we want to address one more hurdle that we often face, and that is this hurdle of actually sharing the gospel, speaking the gospel. And the scripture I want to explore today is short, but it's really powerful. It's the final doxology or praise chorus that Paul writes at the end of his letter to the Romans. This brief hymn of praise captures a lot of themes of the entire book of Romans. Especially, it points back to chapters 1 and 2 of Romans, the house Paul begins the book. We find this doxology, or hymn of praise, at the end of Romans chapter 16, verses 25 to 27. So if you want to go there on your Bible apps, or if you brought a Bible with you or want a Bible at the back, we'll be looking at these three verses, Romans 16, 25 to 27. Now, what I'd like to do is kind of this sermon in two parts. I'd like to start out just by looking at the hymn of praise and making sure that we understand why is Paul bursting into song? What's making him so excited? And then I want to look at one phrase in that hymn that stands out for me with neon lights. So let's read that text together. And in fact, I would love to invite us, if you are willing, since it's a short one, would you join me in reading this out loud? It'll be on the screen up above. And this includes kids that can read. Please jump in and join us and read this out loud together. Okay, Romans 16, verse 25, together now. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Now, as usual, if you have read any of the Apostle Paul, he is a dense writer. And what I mean by that is not intellectually dense. I mean that he packs a lot into a few words. So you often want to linger and savor and dig into a text when Paul is speaking. And I have to say, he does it especially when he breaks into these hymns of praise. And I just love Paul. What you'll find as you're reading his letters, he's going along talking theologically or trying to address an issue in one of his churches, and suddenly he will just get so excited about Jesus and Jesus' powerful work among them that he just breaks into these verbal happy dances in many of his letters. As you read his letters, you'll want to look for these bursts of joyous worship out of the Apostle Paul. And I think as you read them, you'll actually recognize many of them. During the benediction, Pastor Mark often uses these bursts of praise to end our services. So some of them will sound very familiar. Well, let's look into this to make sure we understand what this hymn, this little song, is saying. I want you to notice in verse 25, Paul starts out by saying, "Now to God," and then he ends in verse 27, "Be the glory," right? So that's the key sentence, "Now to God be the glory." And in between the beginning and the end of that sentence, in the midst of giving God the glory, Paul touches on a lot of major themes in the book of Romans. He starts out by talking about how God is able to strengthen you. Paul longs for the church to be strengthened. In fact, it's part of his reason for even writing to Romans. And he tells them he wants to come and meet them so that he can strengthen them. Here, he acknowledges that it is God who will give him strength. It is God who will give them strength. Whether or not Paul visits, it is God who is the source of strength. He says also that this strength is a part of the gospel message. Or let me say that in another way. In other words, wherever Jesus is proclaimed as Lord, there is a strength that comes from God around that proclamation in their community and in Christians' lives. Wherever we declare that Jesus is Lord, there's a strength that comes from God around that proclamation. He also says of that gospel that it is a deep mystery that was hidden for a long time but is now revealed. And he goes on to say it's being known among the Gentiles and that God commanded that it be known among the Gentiles. And the whole purpose that it is being known among the Gentiles is bringing the obedience to the faith among Gentiles now. That's the whole movement of God. Now, for those of you that are curious, what's this thing about mystery? What's he talking about? We actually find in Ephesians 3:6, Paul describes this mystery. He reveals what it is. He says, that is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. See, there were hints that the Gentiles were going to be blessed through Abraham's descendants. We heard about that in the Old Testament. And in fact, there are a lot of Old Testament scriptures that point to there being a blessing for all nations, and that somehow all nations were going to come to worship God. But how that was going to happen seemed really unclear. I mean, Israel is this tiny little country in the middle of the Middle East with a distinct language, a distinct culture. How on earth was this tiny little group of people, even if they were worshiping God, ever going to bless all the nations? It just didn't seem possible that God could fulfill those promises. And then comes Jesus. And the apostles now can see, when they look at the prophetic writings, it is Jesus that is fulfilling all those promises. And the way that Jesus is doing that is that he, through his death and resurrection, has made the Gentiles equally God's people, right alongside of the Jews. It's an incredible revelation, a mystery solved that scholars had pondered, that Jesus himself would be this incredible power to bring all the nations, all the Gentiles into the family of God. And Paul is reveling in this. He cannot believe how wise God is and how wonderful this plan is that has surprised him most of all. And Paul just bursts into song. And he's singing this song for us today, Salem, because we are saved just the same way Jews are saved. This ends up being all about Jesus, and it is access to everybody. It's a beautiful hymn. It's our praise to Jesus as well. We daily revel in the salvation that has been so freely granted us. So, about that little phrase that jumps out to me. The phrase is my gospel. Did you catch that? It's interesting that Paul would talk about the gospel with such ownership and in such a personal way. So my first response when I read it was, whoa, Jim Bob, this is Christ's gospel. Like, don't be making it all yours. Paul actually uses this phrase two other times in the New Testament. Once more in Romans, back in chapter 2, he uses the phrase, my gospel. And then once in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. And this is the final letter of his life that he writes in 2 Timothy. So the question I brought to it is, why does Paul personalize the gospel so much? Was it a different gospel than the one that the other apostles had? After I've done some study and some reading, it's become clear to me that Paul's my gospel is a match for the gospel. So I don't know if you've thought about how do you articulate what the gospel is. There are a lot of really great ways to tell it. There are a lot of tools you can use if you want, or you may have a personal way that you just love to share it. I'm just going to share today the way I like to share it, and it's because I'm a storyteller, so it's about characters that I just love this way. So there are four characters in the gospel. The first character is God. God is a loving God who created everything that exists and calls his special creation, human beings, into a loving relationship with him. God is not just loving, but he is holy. He never does anything wrong. He is perfect, and he is separate from anything that is bad or is evil. And the last thing to know about God is that he is just. He will always set things right. He will make sure that evil is not just winked at, but is paid for. The second character in the gospel is us. We were made good by this good God, and we were given free will, so that we could be in a loving relationship with God, which requires choice. We abused that freedom, and we rebelled, and we became evil. And we have no way of changing that. God's goodness and holiness actually just pushes us further and further from his presence. And that distance results in physical and spiritual death. We owe a debt of goodness that we cannot pay. We are bankrupt. There's good news, though, because there's a third character, and the third character is Jesus. Because he was both God and man, he was able to live a perfectly righteous life. And then he could pay off our infinite debt by dying in our place. It was an amazing plan by God, an expression of his incredible love, to take our debt on himself and fulfill what only God could do, what we were incapable of doing. Jesus offers us forgiveness, friendship, and leadership. And the only way to get this is to humbly accept this gift. You cannot earn it. Ask his forgiveness. Thank him for his friendship and love, and accept his leadership. As we receive this gift, he gives us the power to live a new life, a life in Scripture that's called eternal life. And we live that eternal life now, and we live it right through death. Death changes completely for us into just a doorway to a bigger life. And the final character, the fourth character in this story, is you. The ball is in your court. The gift of forgiveness and life eternal here and in heaven is offered to you. But you can only be forgiven if you accept that gift. So it's just a sketch, and there's probably some, when you're doing sketches, you don't get all the details, but it's a way of telling this story that feels natural to me, and it captures the picture and the question that the gospel is sharing. Now, I want to say, there are lots of ways to describe the gospel. I think there are so many methods, there are so many ways to share it. But what I'd really want to encourage you to do is to find a way that you are comfortable with describing the gospel. How would you describe it? What would you say about it that makes sense to you, that you feel like you could describe on the fly? Part of really being ready to share your faith is knowing how to explain the gospel. But now I do want to go back to and address, what about this my gospel? What does that have to do with us? You see, Paul shares the gospel I just shared, but he had a unique take on the gospel. He, of all the apostles, was anointed to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. In fact, in Acts, at his conversion, the person who prays for him and heals his eyes tells him that he is anointed to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul was an expert in the Hebrew law, but at the same time, he was actually raised in a Gentile city called Tarsus, and he was a Roman citizen, which was really rare. None of the other apostles were Roman citizens. He was able to do the deep theology that connected the Jewish Old Testament to the truth about who Jesus Christ was. He was also an educated scholar, which made him able to communicate to all people of all classes in the Roman Empire. In fact, he's the one that brings the gospel to the court of Caesar, we find out. His experience and his calling equipped him to share the gospel, especially effectively to Gentiles. Now, when Paul talks about that, he is sharing his own gifting there. And it isn't about like a different kind of gospel. We're receiving the same message, but he is uniquely equipped because of those experiences, because of the studies that he's done, because of the work that he's done. He shares the gospel with people just like us. And I am so grateful that Paul did that. We are here as a legacy of his work of sharing the gospel. We have many letters in the New Testament because of his legacy. His legacy makes me a part of the people of God. So the question I want to pose to myself and to you today is, what is my gospel? For me, and for you, what unique experiences have I had, you had? What special training have we received? What calling has God placed on your life and my life that all together create an effective way of sharing the gospel with particular people? What has happened in your life that has allowed you to see the power of God at work transforming your experiences? And you get to tell that story. Maybe your gospel is for scientists, or maybe your gospel is for business people, or athletes, or musicians. Maybe your gospel is for people who are facing cancer, or for people who have had a spouse die. Maybe your gospel is for people who are single, or people who have a deep passion for justice issues. Maybe it's for parents who are trying to raise children in this complicated world. Part of my gospel is for women who are especially working in fields dominated by men. I have seen the transforming and forgiving and healing power of Jesus over and over in places where gender issues could have destroyed us all. And it did not. Praise be to God. So I want to leave you with these two challenges as we finish our series today. try to articulate the gospel to someone this week, would you? Just grab someone who's safe and say, okay, I'm just going to try this, you know? Like, work it through a little bit. It doesn't have to be someone who doesn't know Jesus if you'd like to, like, get a little practice. Could be your spouse, could be your kid, could be anybody. But just take a moment and see, can I tell the story so that I'm ready? I just have it. It's ready for me. And then I want to invite you to think about who you are uniquely equipped to share the gospel with. Your own words, your own story, your own empathy and understanding. In fact, you might want to take that invite card that Pastor Jim mentioned, and you might want to give it to someone who you know you have this special connection of circumstances in your life or callings or passions that are the same. I get excited just thinking about how God will use the many My Gospels right here in this room to transform and change the lives of the people around us, Salem. I want to say that's worth a hymn of praise, truly to the only wise God and Jesus Christ, be glory forever. Amen? Amen. Will you just pray with me? Lord God, I want to thank you so much for this beautiful hymn of praise that inspires us. We thank you, Jesus, that we have a gospel. We have good news to share. We know that your death and your resurrection is the turning point of history. It all changed at that moment. And we are living out that salvation now. And it is available for everyone we know. Father God, would you please just equip us to effectively share that gospel? That would be part of our hymn of praise, that we would share it with other people and get to see your transforming work spread in this world. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.